Hey, Adam here. Welcome to the Business of Weddings podcast, the audio version of my YouTube series, in which I sit down with loads of different wedding pros and industry heavyweights chatting about building a successful business and being part of the wedding industry. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss out on an episode, and I hope you enjoy.
We have fucking met by now.
There you go, there's the basic voice. This is the baritone, yeah. Totally baritone.
Hello YouTube, welcome back. Adam here, joined today by Mr. James Jebson Photography.
Hello.
I'm assuming that this is coming through. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for being on the channel. James Jebson is a photographer, entrepreneur, I'd say.
Yeah.
Mentor. Like you, just because you smash it on all fronts and you.
Yeah, I mean it started as a photographer, but then, as with anything, I get bored quite easily of any element of routine in my life. So it just evolved really nicely into, like you say, a multifaceted.
Yeah, because you start off doing one thing and then that evolves into something else that you didn't necessarily think would happen, but then it's going well and you enjoy it, so you just roll with it. And that's what seems to be what you've done with all the marketing. And the...
Yeah. I mean, it's that cheesy thing that technology is moving really quickly, platforms are moving really quickly. So when I started 10 years ago, it was a very different world. So you've got to evolve all the time, I think. I don't ever want to be, I always have conversations with older photographers who are like, oh, it's not what it used to be. It's not the same. And it's not, but that's okay. And
it's not going to be.
No, because it'd be really boring if it was. But it just means that you've constantly got to be pushing yourself and going on workshops and not being shy on learning, and because you don't want to sit back and be like, well, I've been doing it this way now for 10 years and expecting that to still work, because it just won't.
We'll touch on that, because it came up the other day in one of the Facebook groups about how, because video is becoming more saturated and everyone's, but we'll touch on that, because of course it's going to be evolving all the time.
Yeah, it's just the nature of what we do, and the main hurdle that I always see is, because it's so subjective, both the end product and how it's produced, people get so opinionated about it that what you should do and what you shouldn't do and what's right and what's wrong, that they become lost into actually going, that's really beautiful.
Yeah.
Which is all that would surely should be the end product.
What you shouldn't be doing is ignoring all that and focusing on what your brand and green wants.
Yeah.
Or your client wants.
And that's it.
First and foremost.
Yeah.
But why digress?
We do digress. Anyway, so James is a wedding photographer first and foremost, who I met when I started. I think one of my first weddings was with you. Yeah.
I didn't know.
But we've done loads together since, and because we do work together, and I know you do a bit of video stuff as well, and I thought it'd be good to get a photographer's opinion on the wedding business stuff. So thanks for doing this and answering some questions.
Yeah.
I guess the first thing to start with would be like how you got into wedding photography.
First I was assisting, second shooting. So I kind of bounced around with jobs when I was like 18. I was that person who it felt like everyone knew what they wanted to do, and I was kind of the guy going, I just want to go out and get pissed and just have a good time at the minute. So I kind of bounced around jobs that I didn't enjoy, that I wasn't bothered about. Sorry if any of those employees are watching. thank you. But bizarrely, those jobs, like, I was the guy that you saw when you took your car in for a service and stuff like that, and then sold cars for a little bit, all those weird little jobs that gave me, without me realizing, gave me skills that I now use on a day-to-day on the business side of what I do. But from the photography side, it's that classic thing of, I really just enjoyed taking photos. I was always, when we went away, I'd be the one capturing images. I used to use my brother's camera. My brother was a bit of a flash arrow. He always had the latest gadget, but never really used it. And I'd sort of nick it and use it. So we used to go away at New Year, and I'd be sort of capturing those moments and really enjoying it. And then I approached a couple of photographers, just through accident, really, of kind of work that I saw online and all that kind of stuff. And then I was at a real crossroads because I'd never done anything properly before in my life. I'd kind of blagged my way through it. And I thought, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this right. So I enrolled as a mature student for my photography degree.
Was there something with the university, the photography degree that you did? There was some kind of... Aren't you the only person that still practices photography?
There's two of
them.
Yeah, so out of... Yeah, which is... It's a scary fact, but... So there's... I think there's two, possibly three out of my entire alumni that are now working full-time within the industry as a photographer from a photography degree. Mm. And I've been working quite closely. Yeah, really scary. But I've been working or trying to work really closely with the universities. I've been doing a lot of talking, speaking at colleges. In the fact that there's not enough emphasis put on the business side of it. So we, you know, the first thing they did in the photography degree, they slowed us down from digital, got us using with film, large format film, really cool stuff. Looking down the glass, it's all upside down. You're putting your cape over your head. It's really cool stuff. Then that helps you in your practice because you're slowing down and you're considering the shot rather than just spraying, which can happen when you've sort of grown up with digital. But the elements of, that was always my question with guest speakers, but how are you making money? Mm-hmm. And I guess that's kind of my motivation, is that I want nice things for my kids and stuff like that.
It's a business, so we've got bills to pay.
Yeah.
And yeah, people do get too hung up about the art.
Yeah, and I always want to be proud of what I do, I want to enjoy what I do, and most importantly, I want my clients to love, not just like, but love what I produce for them. But also, I want to make money, man. Is that really bad?
No, this is because you're a man after my own heart.
Yeah.
Similar.
I like shiny things, man. I don't know. It's really shallow.
To go, well, because I remember when I started and like, someone gave me like 200 quid to do the wedding. I was like, a day, 200 quid.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, and then I've recently put prices up again. So I'm like, it's going to be like $2,500 for your wedding, and you kind of just slip it in and hope that they don't hear you almost because you're embarrassed. It's like, that's a lot of money.
Absolutely.
And then they go, yeah, great.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
But I think that's it.
It's a good living.
I remember my very first job, my very first commercial, it was a commercial photography job on my own. So I've been working with a photographer. I've been, like I say, assisting and second shooting and all that kind of stuff. But the first gig that I got on my own was a restaurant. And it was a restaurant we used to go in really regularly. And I'd just been putting some stuff on my Facebook, and the guy who owned it was a pal of mine. He was like, listen, we need some photos of the food doing. And I'm like, oh my God, I've made it. This is it. I'm doing it. How much would that be? And I'll never forget. And I went, 80 quid? and he went, looked at me like, okay. Like, oh my God, really? And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to make 80 quid in a day taking photos. I love that. I love taking photos, and he's going to pay me to do it. What an idiot. And
then he goes in the back and goes,
what an idiot. I've got a dude photographing the entire menu for 80 quid. What an idiot. Same thing. And that was many years ago.
First wedding then?
Focusing on the wedding. The wedding. My first wedding. My first wedding was, again, friends of a friend. Mm. I was first year in my photography degree, so I hadn't got my degree yet, but I was still studying. And it was like 4 hours coverage, and I was absolutely bricking myself. It was a short ceremony at Blackpool at Festival House. And then it was like an hour back at the house.
Nice.
And they loved the images, and I really enjoyed it. And
the friend of a friend is good, but it's just...
I got asked the other day, I want to get into wedding videography, how do I do it? And the only way that people do get in is friends of friends. You got to do like the odd free beer in there, so it's easy. It's the way to get in.
Yeah,
isn't
it? It was the first paid gig from a wedding point of view. I'd been that person at weddings that had taken shots of people while they were during weddings.
As a guest, right?
Yeah, as a guest. Not being too eager with it, but just capturing little moments and just stuff like that that I enjoyed doing, and kind of getting the little candid moments. And then on a couple of occasions with those as well, like the bride, I remember there was one particular bride who used my picture as her profile picture, and stuff like that instead of all the wedding photos and stuff like that. I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. That's a nice feeling. Yeah. I like that. But then, yeah, the first paid wedding gig was like a small coverage, a little bit of cash in hand, obviously. I paid all my relevant taxes and all that kind of stuff. But it was cash in hand. Yeah, I was bricking it, and I didn't know what to produce. I didn't know what to give them. And then I went on a workshop, a two-day workshop, and it was basically, it was all the stuff I knew I was going to do, but instead of me doing trial and error to get there, I was sat there going, oh yeah, of course, because that's what I was thinking about, but I didn't do it.
Yeah.
And that completely...
That was important, doing the workshops.
Game-changing. And I've told that particular photographer every time I see them how much I owe them, because it was that light bulb moment of... And I knew I'd get to that point, but it would have taken me a lot longer to get to the point.
So worth investing a bit of money into something like that.
Oh my God, yeah. And genuinely, and I do it now purposefully because of what we touched on about, I don't want to be that stagnant photographer that every year I do at least one workshop. At least one.
Right.
I did one recently. It was based around composites. Something that I'm unlikely to ever use, but just to get an appreciation and understanding of lighting and all that kind of stuff. So it doesn't have to be an obvious workshop to kind of go, I need to learn this. It's funny what you take from it.
Yeah, and even if you just pick up a few things and then just get a kick up the arse to go home the next day and be like, right, I'm going to do this. It's a bit of motivation, isn't it?
Well, that's key. That's key in the fact, and I say this to my mentoring clients, in that it's all well and good going to these workshops and learning these things and watching these videos and all that kind of stuff. But there's two different types of people, I genuinely believe this. There's two different types of people in that. There's people that watch it and go, oh yeah, that's wicked, and then just carry on and just do their thing and that's cool. Yeah. And that's fine. But then there's the other people that take action, and you have to take action, I believe, within 24 hours. If you've learned something, put it in play straight away. If you've not done it within 7 days, I think there's some stat I'm sure out there that if you've not done it within the week, you ain't ever gonna
there's
do
a
it.
Phrase, isn't there?
Is there?
Yeah.
What's the phrase?
I don't know.
All right. But there
you
is a phrase.
You told it me, but...
Well, there's a phrase that in 21, doing something for 21 days will create a habit. Doing it over 90 days will create it as instinct, I think it is.
Okay.
James Jepson, 2019.
It was, I think it's, if you do it within 24 hours, if it's within the first 24 hours, you're like 90% likely to do it.
Yeah,
and then if it gets to 72 hours, you're like 50%.
It's
and
like
then
rough changes.
Yeah, yeah. And then if it's after a week, you're not going to do
gonna
it.
Happen.
It's not going to happen.
You're never going to do it.
Yeah. And that's Wing 2019.
Love that. I'm going to get that tattooed.
So how's, fast forwarding to modern day times?
Yes.
How's bookings going this year? And
good.
Busy?
A lot of destination weddings, and I don't know why, but I'm enjoying it.
You don't market for them or try and get them or anything?
No.
I made a plan to try and get 3 to 4 a year and start pushing. So I SEO'd a bit differently and started trying to blog for it and stuff.
See, I'm that old school,
and it seems to be working a bit.
Yeah,
but that's cool.
See, I'm that old school practitioner in that I'm a bit crap with my SEO. Well, I'm really crap with my SEO. I don't think I've blogged technically for 2, maybe 3 years. And I know there'll be a lot of people, if people are watching it, there'll be people going, "What? He doesn't got a clue what he's doing." But I will do. But for me, my marketing strategy doesn't work like that.
This is why I wanted to talk to you in particular, and because you do.
What I would see as this, rather than doing all this traditional SEO stuff to get work, you do a lot of social media and you do a lot of personal branding stuff, which you don't see very often. I only really know of you and like Johnny Draper and people like that doing it. And in video world, I that's how I get bookings, and people ask me all the time, like, how do you manage to do that 50 a year? And it just does seem to be that the more I always meet people, I try and friend them up on Facebook, do all the social media stuff, and that works for me, but I never see any other videographers doing it, because well, there's a thing of like, oh, I'm a bit shy, I don't want to do it, or which is, I get, but it works.
I think
the scary thing in the world right now is that we put ourselves out there a lot, and there's a lot of people, there seems to be a barrier now where people realise that they can give someone a little bit of crap and not get punched in the face, so they now go, oh, this is really easy, I can do this a lot.
Trolls. But you put yourself out there quite a lot.
Yeah,
so
and because I don't...
You must get a bit of stick.
I don't give a shit. I don't care.
I know we've talked about this before, but that's the way to be, isn't it?
And that may be, that may be insipid or arrogant for some people. I don't know. I don't think it is arrogant. And don't get me wrong, I'm not... I really care what people think, but I care what they've got to be important to me to
the
care.
Right people, yeah, of course.
I don't care what a dude sat in his pants in Luton at 4 a.m. eating Watsits cares about me and my business. And that's not anything personal to a dude sat in his pants eating Watsits in Luton, but yeah. You know who you are. but my clients, number one, what they think about is key.
Yeah,
kind of the wrong order, my family.
Clients
should be the other way around, maybe. But yeah, that when it comes down to my professional life, that's what I care about. So, but it is a scary concept of putting yourself out there, because as with anything, you're putting yourself out there to ridicule or criticism or whatever it may be.
You're opening up to anything.
Yeah, and I get that.
But then there's plenty of people being there supportive as well.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And I'm used to my mates ripping me to pieces, man. And that's how we've always grown up, kind of taking the mickey out of each other, because we don't take it too seriously.
Well, that's it, because your mates are going to take the mickey out of you, and you kind of accept that because they're your mates. But then when a stranger does it, you're like, oh, I don't like that.
Yeah, but I think when it's down to a stranger, there's an element of venom of kind of going, you don't, like, really?
Like, you're right, mate.
Really? Like, where are you? Let's meet for a cuddle. Let's sort this out. Everything's cool. But I guess I'm one of those people that I don't watch the news. I don't keep up with current affairs or anything like that. And again, that to some people is like, what an idiot. But I'm fine living my life in my bubble.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with that. And if something is bringing negativity or not bringing me any positivity, is kind of indifferent, then I don't really need it in my life. So why have that? And I think once you get that, and it sounds really cheesy, and there'll be some people that get it, and there'll be some people that are like, what the hell's he on about? He's a hippie or whatever. But once you get that, you kind of, it's so cathartic, and you go, and your shoulders drop, and you just go.
You're just being happy in yourself.
Yeah, man.
That's.
And my social circles diminished rapidly.
Yeah.
But I'm just, and that's
you're content within yourself.
Yeah.
Doing your own thing, and you don't need to worry about X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, and that happens.
Free.
That happens with age, I think. And that sounds really condescending, but I think as you. It's quite a common thing that as you get older, you stop giving a crap what people think, but to the point where you're just like a really doddering old person going, ah.
Have you seen the Jack Nicholson meme where it's like he's got crazy hair and he's like, and it's the less you give a fuck, the happier you'll be?
Perfect. Yeah.
True.
But I just think, like, yeah, like there was a lot of people in my life when I was younger that I thought were really good friends, but were making me question what I was doing. And the moment that I got those out of my life and I just went, well, I'm just going to do it. And the people were like, you go for it, man. I'm like, yeah, I need more of you. Like, there, that's what I want. But yeah, back to the marketing elements. We're going deep, man. Back to the marketing elements, yeah. I try and approach things differently to what other practitioners do. And it's funny that you should mention that there's only me and Johnny Draper kind of do it the way we do it, because Johnny Draper's the photographer whose course I went on who changed everything for me.
Yeah.
So that's a real compliment for me. In that, I know some photographers who don't really like people, who SEO the hell out of the website. They don't want to meet the couple. They just want the booking via email. They don't want as minimal interaction as they want. And that's cool. And that works for them. And I love that. And I'm not saying there's right or wrong, because there's not. It's what works for different people.
Yeah.
What works for me is recommendations from other clients. I love people and I love spending time with people, and I want every single couple of mine to then recommend me to all their friends. I want their best man to be like, dude, I want you at my wedding. I want, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because they like you as a, and it's not like I'm gonna lick your ass so that you'll recommend me. It's just,
no,
just getting on with people because you like people. I find
it's about being good at what you do, being consistently good at what you do, having the confidence in what you're doing, and also the knowledge to, you know, like, I learned a lot of lessons when I got married as a groom of what I want and what I don't want. And I've implemented that. So the grooms that I tend to meet are similar to me.
Hmm.
And like the weddings that I get tend to be a similar type of person.
Well, you'll naturally attract, because you, the way you market yourself, you'll attract those kind of couples.
Yeah.
And then the people that don't, that just do everything over email, they'll attract those kind of couples.
And that's right, yeah.
And it's that basis that there is a market for everybody, and it's about finding what's right for you and what you enjoy doing. Because I think I could try and be SEO man, but I wouldn't be happy.
Yeah, but it's good what you said about you see all these other dudes doing it that way, you're trying to do it a different way. Because that, you've got to stand out, haven't you?
Totally.
You know, and there's so much being talked about. It's a saturated market, saturated, all that kind of stuff. Do you know what? For me, it always has been, but that's okay. Because there is a market for everybody. And again, it goes back to the point that photography is subjective. So what I produce, somebody may love, and another photographer who'd shoot it in a completely different way, someone else will love that. It's just that easy.
The big scaremongering in videography, especially from what I've seen at the minute, is that it's getting more saturated. And it's nowhere near as saturated as photography, but it's growing, and there's more photographers offering video, and there's things like, and like, you know, people comment and say, oh, I lost a gig to someone who's willing to offer the Earth for £200. How am I supposed to compete with this?
That's always been a thing.
Of course it has. That's the answer.
But I'd be interested to know the line in the graph of those, of the amount of filmmakers that are increasing compared to the demand for filmmaking as well.
That's going up as well. So it's parallel.
So it's linear.
Yeah.
I'd like to think that it is.
I think
because of social media and stuff, the brides are more educated and there's more awareness for good wedding videography. Mm. So that's going up. And you're sure there's more people doing it, but there's more people looking for it.
So I did headshots for Blackmagic Designs, camera filmmakers. You don't need me to tell you. You know this. But I did headshots for Blackmagic Design at their European head office. I then built on the relationship, as I do with all clients. And they started giving me gear and saying, do you know what, we really want to work on photographers moving into filmmaking because we think there's going to be an influx of filmmaking. This was like 8 years ago-ish. Right. So it was before the boom.
It's been happening in the last 18 months, hasn't it?
And they saw it. They were like, so we know that the industry is kind of going to shift that way. Right. So we were wondering, James Jepson, can we use you as our photographer moving into filmmaking? We'll teach you some stuff. We'll give you some kit. Fast forward a little bit, I spoke at the photography show at the NEC. So they were the first film camera company to be at the photography show at the NEC.
Oh, right.
4 years ago, I think, ish. Might be wrong. But they asked me to speak on their behalf of kind of saying, this is the way we think the industry is going to go. As a photographer, the skill set and how we look at a frame or how we look at a particular image is the same way, but we just need to look at different things technically and also leading into the still and then leading out of the still, which in its essence is kind of what it is, in my opinion. And they saw that a few years ago because of the influx of Facebook wanting to be as big as YouTube and more videos being prevalent on news feeds and all that kind of stuff. So it's been happening for a while, and it goes back to what we said at the very beginning, that if you're going to sit back stagnant, then that's going to happen. And
you've got to stay on the pulse.
Well, I really believe, and I know a lot of thoroughbred filmmakers will hate me for saying this, but I just think the way that the industry is going or gone is that you need to be multi-skilled. As a client, if I own a business and I've got one practitioner who can offer me stills and film, and I've got one practitioner who can offer me photography, but I then need to deal with somebody else who can do filmmaking, who am I going to pick? Because it comes down to making the life easier for the client at some point. If the work's at a similar standard, and let's be honest, from a client perspective, they're not going to be too harsh on the critique of a final product. They want it to look shiny and cool and beautiful, and if that works, then that works. They're not bothered about what cameras you're using. I've never had that in a client. So what camera do you use? Like, they don't care, man. Like, does it look shiny? Yeah, right, I want that.
And that goes back to our peers think that really matters.
Mm.
But who are you doing work for?
Yeah, and that's it. And the opinion of certain people, it shouldn't matter. Like, anybody that starts a sentence, I've been in this industry for X amount of years. If you start in that sentence, dude, I don't care what you're about to say. If your whole basis is how long you've been doing something, I don't care, man. I don't want to hear the rest of that sentence, because that for me bears no credence on what you're producing. I know guys that have been in the industry 18 months, 2 years, that produce incredible work and are naturally gifted and talented, and I'd rather take their opinion on board.
Well, that's what matters, the work.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, and it just goes back to what we said before, of that there's people that will learn how to do something and then just become really obsessed with the way that they did it, and everyone else is wrong. And I just think that's such a naive way to do it. And whenever I've, whenever I do any training or mentoring, the first sentence I always say is, there's so many different ways to achieve the final end goal. This is the way I do it, or this is the way I recommend to do it. It's not necessarily going to be right for everybody. Marketing's a prime example. You know, there'll be some people screaming at the screen, kind of going, you don't SEO, what, you don't blog, what, are you an idiot? And that's fine. For me, I'd rather put my time and efforts into something else. So,
well, like you said before, it's like the what makes you stand out and what probably couples love about you is that you really seem to build a connection with your clients, and you put in your efforts into doing that. Being friends with them on Facebook, yeah, making them love you, making their guests love you, that's where the work comes from.
Without cursing anything.
Touching wood. I currently have 100% conversion rate when I meet a client, when I meet a wedding couple, should I say.
I always advocate doing a meeting because a lot of people will book for email.
Massively. So everything I'm doing leading up to that is giving them all the information, so they've seen all the images, they know from a money perspective what they're getting for the money, how much they're going to spend, everything. They've got all the information, so it gets to the point where the meeting is just to check that we get on.
Just to make them like you. That's
yeah. And so far, each person that I've met, we get on. Because at that point, I think that's what the client needs. They kind of, they know what the images are like, they know what they're going to get. They want to check that it works, because I think people buy from people, and that's a really cheesy corporate phrase, but it's absolutely
people
true.
Buy into people,
yeah, I'm not one of, and don't get me wrong, I mean, putting it into a different market, for example, retail clothes, I know I could buy my top cheaper online if I could be bothered going online and doing it. I like going to the same shop in Lytham because I know that we have a banter, they sell to me and I love being sold to, and I like going in there because they make me feel good. Yeah. And that's it, and that's why I go in there, and I could probably save 10 quid or whatever on my top. Do I want to do that? No, it's about the experience for me, and I bring that across.
And just the hour that it takes you to go down to your local pub and have a meeting,
yeah,
is well worth it, because they might have booked anyway, but they might not have done, and even if they were going to book anyway, I'd still rather do the meeting, yeah, just so that you can get to know them.
And
it makes me feel better, yeah, to actually speak to them face to face, know what they look like.
It then works from a business point of view, because they then become your biggest advocate and marketing tool.
They start tagging you in stuff.
Yeah.
Like you've got passive social media, yeah, stuff going on because they're talking about you without you even needing to prompt them.
But even down to like the bride then having a chat, the bride will no doubt have a WhatsApp group with the bridesmaids in or the girls in, and then go, oh my God, we just met the photographer, we booked it, I'm really excited. And then that's a great thing. And then the guy might be in the boozer going, oh, we bought the photographer, he's sound, yeah, he's a good lad, we had a beer. Mm. And instantly that news about you is spreading.
Yeah, good point.
So it's for an hour, plus it's just nice meeting people. Whether we realise it or not, as photographers, filmmakers, we live quite a solitary life when we're sat in front of the screen. So why not get out and meet people?
Yeah. But again, that would come back to
the old school kind of, I don't want to stereotype, but the old school boys that would be like, oh, I don't have time to meet people.
Yeah, and like you say, I know.
I've never had to meet people before.
Yeah, and it's just something I've never done.
Yeah.
That's fine, that's cool. But don't...
It's nothing new. Business is... It's always been evolving. It doesn't matter what business you're in, it just evolves. You've got to move with it or you get left behind.
And that's
just...
basics.
And I know some incredible photographers and filmmakers that just want their work to do the talking. They don't want to do that, and that's totally cool. And they're busy people, and it works for them. But it just goes back to that old adage that there's so many different ways of achieving the same thing. What works for me is meeting the couple and allowing my personality to come across, and understanding what their fears and worries were at that stage, because I had that when I was a groom too.
Yeah, and you can draw on that, I guess,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
And when it comes to like recommending videographers, because you must get asked about that when you meet couples.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you care how long they've been doing it?
No.
Do you care about what the work's like and what they're going to be like on the day?
It's that weird
thing as well. It's like I'm not bothered about what kit they're using. I'm not bothered about anything else. Like you say, what I'm bothered about is how they are on the day and what they're producing.
All our peers, like, I get asked questions all the time. Yeah, that's great, but what settings are you using? It's like, it doesn't matter, dude. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It does to an extent, but it doesn't.
I've never had a client in my life go, whether it be commercial or wedding couple, what camera do you use, though? And for the deck, what lenses do you use to shoot what? That's never a thing. people, do you know what I mean? It's like when you're in a restaurant and you get an incredible meal, you don't go, well, how's he cooking the steak, man? Is he, does he grill it, or does he? Yeah. No one, you don't ask that, man.
It tastes good.
Yeah. Is the steak good? Yes.
I did have a groom once.
It was like grilling me, like, what camera do you use? What lenses do you use? And I was like,
really?
Yeah. And he was at me, and I was like, I told him, and I was like, but you know, that doesn't. And he went, yeah, I don't know why I asked you, to be honest.
I feel like I should have.
He literally went, I didn't really know what to ask, so that was the first thing that came in my head, and I don't really care, so it means nothing to me. Like, I told him, I just went, oh, this camera on this blend prime, and he was like, don't know what any of that means. I went, well, right, okay, don't worry about it then. And he went, yeah, I didn't know what to ask, so I thought I'd ask him.
Yeah. So
he was just making stuff up to ask me, because he felt like I should have things to ask you.
He wants to step in, yeah, absolutely, and do the man thing.
Because the bride was like chatting about everything relevant, and he just went, so what cameras are you using then? Just because he wanted to have input.
And that's it. It's strange.
And then it didn't matter.
A lot of practitioners put a lot of emphasis on a lot of things they feel should be important, but the best thing to do is put your consumer hat on and kind of go, well, what would I, as a consumer, yeah. And the majority of my couples are the kind of teachers, doctors, that kind of stuff. So they're more interested in, you know, how am I going to be on the date? We know what the images look like. We know what we're getting for our money, but how is it going to be on the day? Because we've all been at weddings where the couple get taken off for an hour and all that kind of stuff. And that might work for some couples, but not for mine. They want to know that we're going to have 10 minutes away and you're going to produce something epic in that 10 minutes, which is...
And I can vouch for that, because you do spend, like, literally 10 minutes doing portraits.
So
you
bang,
bang, bang, bang, and get
and that's it. Yeah.
Amazing images done in...
And that's it. But I kind of... But again, it leads to that. I offer a pre-wedding shoot, which, you know, for me works really well. I know a lot of photographers kind of aren't into that, but I do that again because it gives me... The images are kind of a byproduct of it. Yeah. It's more spending time with the client again.
Yeah, of course.
Because again, the marketing elements. I want to turn up on the wedding day morning and the bride have already told the bridesmaids and people
kind of point. Because if I've booked one over the phone and not met them just because it's not been possible for whatever reason, and I get the odd one, and I turn up on the day and I'm just kind of like, I don't know who I'm going to introduce myself to, because I've not met the bride. But when you met them and you walk in the morning and you know she's in the corner because you've seen her
Absolutely.
Before, and it's like, hey, how's it going? You saw her 2 weeks ago, and it's so much easier than that awkward, like, hi, I'm here to film you.
And I mean, from a filmmaker's perspective, obviously a kind of a pre-shoot isn't really necessarily or doable, but I'd absolutely recommend meeting up with them, going, let's just have a beer. It's going to take an hour and we'll just have a chat. And I'd absolutely recommend that, because why not? Why wouldn't you do that? Yeah.
Good investment.
You're not. And it's going to make your life so much easier when you turn up to the wedding, because you're already knowing what's important, because the little nuances of what they're talking about of, oh, my nana's there, and do you know what? My nana's so important to me. My nana's number one. And you're going, nana's number one, nana VVIP, loads of nana. Whereas if you hadn't had that conversation, you might get a little glimpse of this old woman that you didn't realise was VVIP.
Exactly.
And you're just making their world, because, oh my God, you got nana holding me hand and all that, it's just the best. That's what we want.
And then that's when they're shouting about you on social media.
Yeah.
Months and months after.
Absolutely. And they're telling all their friends, and then you're getting inquiries. I've got a wedding over in California this year, and it's down to he was the best man at a wedding that I shot in London. It's like that's how it's worked. I've not got an inquiry. Yeah, I've not got an inquiry because they're living in California and they've checked out James Jepson near Blackpool.
Yeah, but now that you've done a wedding in California,
who
done
knows?
That, you could then start
who
to get more
knows? Talent. And that's it. And it, but you, that for me, for me, and I'm not knocking SEO by any stretch of the imagination, but that for me wouldn't have happened if I'd have been SEOing. Weddings in California.
No, because...
Well, it might have done.
You'd have been amongst a whole host of...
Plethora.
Yeah.
Good word.
Plethora.
Plethora.
You've had your word of day, kind of.
Oh, my God, I love a plethora.
So, moving on into, like, videographers, because obviously we work together all the time.
Absolutely.
And one of my first weddings was with you.
Was it
you? Yes. It's like deja vu.
Popped your cherry.
I think it's second or third or something like that. I worked with you. Like, one of my first. You went. I didn't lose my virginity to you, but
baby.
Sloppy seconds.
The way I like it.
But obviously we work together a fair bit, but like other weddings, you must see, how often do you see videographers?
I'd probably say at least half, maybe.
Well, is it on the increase?
It's definitely on the increase, massively on the increase. It's probably gone from a third to at least over half now of the weddings.
Wow,
and
that's a lot.
Not coincidentally, I work with a lot of the same filmmakers, because again, I think just the nature of the client that I have mirrors certain practitioners, yourself, and a couple of other filmmakers. Plus, I'm really limited on who I personally recommend, and without sounding arrogant, the most common purchasing path for a couple in my eyes is venue, and then it kind of drops to photographer being one of the next ones in there.
Photographer is always an early one, but it's 99% of the time they're booking a photographer before they book the videographer.
The majority of the time. I've had a couple recently, and again, it just shows the influx of film, of demands for filmmaking, where they booked a filmmaker, but very rare.
So like for us guys, I'm always aware that the photographers are going to get booked. If I want to be getting recommended by those guys, I need to be on the radar of as many photographers as I can.
I mean, for me, it's basic business across all suppliers. The natural relationship between photographer filmmaker is a really important one because of the nature of how we work together on the day.
The bride really cares about as well, because I know you said before about they're more interested in how we're going to get on.
That's the first question. So it normally gets covered at some point during the first meeting, but it'll get asked at some point of, what about getting it filmed? We want somebody, they either mention it at the first meeting or they mention it about 6 months before they're going to get married. Somebody said we should get it filmed, what do you think?
Later in the day.
And the first question bizarrely tends to be, we want somebody who'll work well with you on the day. It's not, we want somebody who's going to create a cinematic, beautiful, jaw-dropping film. It's, who will work well with you on the day and who would you recommend, in kind of that order, tends to be the question.
Yeah, interesting.
And it just goes...
But that is important though, because if we were clashing on the day, that's the bride and groom aren't going like that, are they?
I've never clashed with a filmmaker. I have had one where I'm really gritting my teeth going, oh my God, this is ending me. And it began, and I knew, I had a little amber warning light in the back of my head when the bride rung me up and went, oh, just to let you know, my auntie's, as a wedding gift, booked us a wedding film. She's all sorted it out. I don't know anything about it. It's just going to turn up on the day. And I'm like, oh man, really?
Picture
this. Yeah.
Interestingly, I spoke to a photographer a bit ago and he said every single wedding, you can find out if they've got a videographer beforehand and Google and stalk the hell out of them and check on them.
Yeah.
And then he'll make a judgment based on what he sees, whether he's going to enjoy working with them or not. And he's always checking up on people.
I think we always get
That's something for us. Like, yeah. I thought, I need to be aware of that. And
I think there's a gut instinct thing about everything, I feel. And that goes across the board. One thing I do a month before the wedding day is I have a hidden web page, which is like an online questionnaire about everything about the wedding day.
Yeah,
and the last few questions are suppliers, and who I can check out. And one of them is there is.
You do, you make a snap. I do it with, because I ask who the photographer is, and if it's someone, a name I don't recognise, I'll be like, oh, I'll check this person out.
Yeah.
And then I make a snap judgment, even subconsciously, of like, I'm not looking forward to this as much as I might have done if.
Yeah,
someone else
was
on
it. And I think the big thing from that is, for me on the day, is communication. We do it a lot where we have that little swan effect where we do the paddling, but then it's all gliding when people are seeing us. So we're like, okay, so we'll do that, and then you do that, and then if I get that, will you get that? And you're like, listen, you do your thing, and I'll do that. Sweet, sound. And then we go, hi guys, right? So in about 10 minutes, we're going to do, and it's all sorted. Whereas I've never had a filmmaker. I think they tried to do it once where they were like, well, you take them away and then I'll take them away. And I'm like, dude, nah, man, that's, we can't do that.
Yeah.
That's not fair on a couple, man. We couldn't, like, let's do something together.
I've had it once where the photographer was like, we want our own time with them. We don't want you there. And it only happened once. And I just went, okay, see you later.
Yeah.
Enjoy. And because then I wasn't going to tend to take them off separately.
Yourself.
But 5 minutes into that time, because I just went, yeah, sure, do your thing. I respect that. 5 minutes in, they went, oh, do you know what, like, you can come. They came and got us and meant, yeah, you can come now, we feel bad, sorry.
For me, and I don't know how it's occurred.
Because the couple went, where's Adam, is he not coming?
Nice.
And then the photographer was like, oh yeah, I'll go and get him. And he went, look, I'm sorry, you can come along.
Sorry for being a dick, basically.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know I think it's shifting, and it has been shifting quite recently, in the fact that it felt like there was always the photographer superseded the filmmaker, and I don't believe that. I think that's really wrong, that the photographer kind of goes, just don't get in any of my shots. And it's like, fuck off, mate. No, like, we work together. And hence, like, simple stuff, like at the end of the ceremony, we do it every time. We've never talked about it, but we always do it. At the end of the ceremony, I'm kind of like, listen, so when they walk down the aisle, I'm going to go low, is that cool? And then you go, yeah, and you're like, right, Sam. And 9 times out of 10, you go, you do your thing, and I'll work around you, and that's a beautiful thing. But for me, I'm like, well, yeah, I want the best for the client. So if that means I'm going to do that, and then you do that, or I'm going to, is that cool with you? Instead of just steaming in and ploughing and going, I'm going to do this. Just that little bit of communication, I think, is key every single time.
If you worked with someone you didn't know, and would that's obviously going to impact your decision on, yeah, I like this guy, I'm going to recommend him.
Yeah, I mean, I again, it goes back to the thing, I'm a big one for gut instinct. I've had it before, like you just said about that photographer, I've had a couple of filmmakers that are really dominant and kind of going, listen, this is what's going to happen type stuff. And I go quite passive, yeah, okay, that's cool if you want to do that. And then kind of in the right circumstances, have a brief chat of going, listen, I know you said that, but can you do that? Because there's no point trying to...
Well, what I was going to say is what would you look for in someone that you're recommending? But I guess you've answered it, because you just don't... You want someone that's going to...
Of all the filmmakers I've ever worked with, I recommend 3. But that's me being super mega double picky. You being one of them, obviously. But it just goes back to all 3 of you produce beautiful work, but we get on and we work together.
Yeah.
And I think that's key.
But then, because we have a laugh and we enjoy, we get on, like you say, and it's almost subconscious now with the, I'm going to stand here. We work together that often that we just know.
Yeah.
But the couple can see that. And then, like the one we did in January earlier this year, they loved that we were getting on.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And I think that's important for the bride and groom to see us having a laugh.
Massively.
It's not rocket science what needs to happen between a photographer and a filmmaker. It needs to be communication and a mutual respect for one another. And that's not about the photographer telling the filmmaker what's going on, or the filmmaker telling the photographer what's happening. That's going, is that cool if I do that? And are you cool with that? Well, yeah, I'd like that if we can do that, and we can figure it out. And that may be split seconds of kind of doing it dead quick. But that goes back to... The reason I only recommend 3 is because I know that I can go bing, 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 yeah, sweet. Because I work, how I work is a really fast pace, as you know. I don't want to have to think about something. If I see something and get a bit of an instinct, we're on. So, you know, it's not hard work, but it can be made really hard work, and has been for me personally in the past, where I've had filmmakers that just... Instantly, I think when you first meet someone for the first time, you get that feeling.
You make a snap judgment, don't you? Mm. First impressions and all that.
I've been
natural of people.
Yeah, I mean, I've gone into prep before where the guy filming I've not worked with them before, I've not met them before, and they've not spoken to me or just kind of ignored me.
See, that's a big thing. Is the first straight away in the morning? Hi, I'm Adam. Yeah, you must be the photographer. Yeah. Good to meet you. Just to let you know that I'm not. Yeah. I'm going to be here. I'm going
to
be there.
Yeah, just to let you know, I'm not a dick.
Yeah,
it's that simple.
That's basically what you're saying.
It's that simple. We're going to do this together, and we're going to create something epic for these guys, because that's what we both want to do.
And it always helps when you do a similar, because I guess we're in similar sort of style in the way we do things. We're in a similar prize bracket and stuff. So the couple are getting consistent across the board. Absolutely. Photo and videography aren't contrasting their similar sort of style.
And something that I say to each couple
is that every single couple at meeting is, when it comes down to getting a film done, you're either fully invested in it or not at all. And it's a personal opinion, but it's that thing of price-wise, you're going to look at the similar amount of money of what you're spending on photography to otherwise just don't bother, because the end product isn't going to be up to the scratch of what you'd expect. And also, the likelihood is that the person's going to be a dick and is going to have an impact on the day. I mean, I've had it before during First Dance, especially. I remember this a specific filmmaker who was getting really tight on the First Dance, put him really close, and I was like, he's going to get the shot, he's going to get the shot, and then step back, he's going to get the shot, he's definitely got the shot by now. And as you know, time's ticking on a first dance before everybody floods on, and you're kind of going, I love a wide shot, me, with all the people looking and tears and all that kind of stuff, or clapping or whatever it may be, with the couple in the middle, and I'm kind of like, oh my God, they're just, he's in really tight, and I'm sure he's getting some great stuff, but get the shot and get out, yeah. Man. Like, you've got it there. You've definitely got it. And I'm like,
you've got to be aware of the other, like, because we're together all day.
Yeah.
If you want to nip in and get a shot, but you can't just hover around the couple, because you've got to be, if I'm always aware, on, like you say, the first dance, I know that the photographer's probably going to want a wide shot at some point, yeah. So I need to be in and out.
And bizarrely, daydreaming, like, getting the shot, and then kind of, if they're standing with a monopod and they're just kind of chatting and stuff, yeah. And they're in it, and it's dead easy to kind of get sucked into the environment, and it's a beautiful thing. And I'm kind of like, do you want to, you know, for me, you know, obviously have the relevant amount of banter, but don't be in, if there's a conversation with bridesmaids, you don't have to get involved in it necessarily to the detriment of kind of going, God, really, can you just... Or, you know, kind of holding the camera and being like, oh, yeah, I love you. Like,
again,
just step out.
Because if you
mask at the start and go, I'm going to try and avoid getting your way.
Yeah.
I know you won't get my way.
And that's it.
And that's that problem solved, yeah. Straight away.
I think communication and awareness are probably the two massive, massive things of understanding, you know, communicating with each other and having an awareness of what the other person needs to achieve. Because even as a photographer, I'm kind of got half an eye on you of kind of going, am I okay? Can I just, I'm just going to get in and get that. And like I say, I've never known you go, don't do that. Yeah. But I'm kind of like, mate, I'm going to get in there now.
Because I always think, and I know,
but I do this with every photographer. I'm just bending over backwards to not get in their way and let them do their thing. And it's not like I'm going to try and lick their ass to get a recommendation, but I just know that the photographer's job's important. And I know I can do my thing whilst being very, in the background,
yeah, yeah,
so I don't need to be. I might need one or two shots, but then I can just literally just peel away and leave them to it. And I think photographers appreciate that.
Yeah,
massively. But I do think that is gradually evolving to the point of a mutual, rather than the photographer being, this is it, if I, you know, type stuff too. It is for me anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
It may not be for a lot of photographers, I don't know. But for me personally, maybe that's just because I have an appreciation of film, or because I've worked closely with filmmakers and I love it.
I think you do.
Yeah.
And everyone will. But
yeah, and I think that... So
it's right. It shouldn't be that photography is a priority, but I do. I'm guilty of thinking that they're more of a priority, and I just would rather let them...
I think watch that over the next 3-5 years especially. I think you'll see a shift of that not being the case.
It should be equal.
Massively.
Yeah.
Especially when they're paying the same amount.
And it all comes back to just doing the right job for the couple.
And that's it. If they're paying the same amount with the same price bracket, so they're paying the same for photography as they are for filmmaking, in what world do I live in? Do I go, well, I'm top dog here, so you'll back that off while I'm doing it? You're an idiot if you think that. Mm. We're both working together. For me, we're producing the whole visual. Stills I'm filmmaking, they're combined.
Yeah, it should be a companion, like, one should be a companion piece.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Because then when, and I always say this to couples, like, when they look back in 20 years' time, they've got a beautiful set of images and a film, and they're both of a similar style, and
absolutely.
They both
and
kind of marry up together.
Absolutely.
And in working together even more, that'll just come across even more. You know, we look at that Indian wedding that we shot at the end of last year.
Yeah.
The stills marry beautifully the beautiful film that's created, and it all works as a whole piece.
And I think
the couples will, even if they've not thought about it initially, you're going to convince them that that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to convince them. And then they'll go, oh, yeah, yeah. So we do want those two guys to work together.
Absolutely. But again, it goes back to the recommendation element. You know, the people, just through the very nature of photographers currently being earlier on in the organising process, you know, venues for me are king. They always have been king, and they always will be king. The recommendations from venues hold so much credence compared to anybody else. So I think venues are number one from a relationship point of view. And I, you know, for me, I recommend filmmakers all the time. In both weddings and commercial work.
All the time.
And it's when I get a ring, I got one the other day, which I've not mentioned actually, but someone inquired me the other day through you. And as soon as it comes, James Jebson's recommended you, I know straight away that they're a certain kind of couple because they've got you, and they're probably going to be like laid back and happy with my style because they've got you and they've got your style. And they're also going to be spending a similar amount of money. So I know that's a quality referral because it's come from a photographer that's doing similar prices and stuff.
And also, if I've done my job properly in the referral, I'll have sold you because I want to work with you. So it's in my best interest to sell the crap out of you, yeah, to go, Adam's the man. He's not only is he mega at what he does, but he's cool to have around. We get on really well. We'll be able to work together and we'll smash your wedding, is what they want to hear.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. And it then means that I can turn up in the morning and go, Wingy, how are you doing? Right, should we do that? That's sweet. And it's both.
Because then I get up in the morning and I'm like,
oh, my God. That's it. Yeah. That's it, man. And it just makes absolutely perfect sense to do that.
The only other thing I wanted to talk about quickly was the corporate, because I know you do a lot of corporate video. And I know I speak to videographers all the time that are trying to get more work, trying to get more bookings. And they supplement that wedding stuff with corporate work. And I don't do it personally. But if you've any advice for like getting how to get into the corporate world,
so I
thought it might be beneficial.
I have two separate businesses. So the wedding photography business and the commercial business. I split them at the very beginning of setting them both up. I don't want my wedding clients having to trudge through my commercial work and vice versa. I don't want my commercial work.
Yeah,
separate websites, separate bank accounts, separate everything. It's just two separate businesses. And I strongly...
What about website? Completely separate. There's plenty of guys that have just a videographer website, corporate... weddings, all on the same banner.
Yeah.
I don't want my wedding couples to see any of that.
Yeah, and again, rightly or wrongly, my commercial clients see my wedding work may just put them off a little bit. It's stupid if it does.
Or vice versa.
But it may just happen. So I think some of the wedding clients like it. Whenever I drop in or I do commercial work too, they're like, all right, that's cool. Yeah. That means it's my life. And
it gives you a bit more credence.
Absolutely.
Couple,
rightly or wrongly. But
it's going to be the corporate clients, if anything.
I think so.
The wedding photographer.
Well, he does weddings.
Yeah.
And that's wrong. So wrong, yeah. But it's always been that way. And I guess because of... We've all been to weddings where there's been an idiot filming it or photographing it who's getting us to, everybody wave at the drone or whatever. Which some people may do, and it will work really well, I'm sure. But yeah, it's not my bag. Yeah, wave at drones, man. It's dead cool.
Keep it separate.
Yeah, keep them completely separate. For me, my opinion, and corporate work isn't, I know something, I'm just talking about photographers here, I know incredible photographers who want to do 35 weddings a year, that is it, $2,500 a wedding, they know that they're going to get a certain amount at the end of the year, and they value time over anything else than that, and that's a beautiful thing. For me, I'm a great believer that if you're applying your trade in the week, that will do nothing but make you a better practitioner for when you're shooting weddings. So, you know, when I'm shooting food or products in the week, that then polishes certain techniques that I'll then use at a wedding when I'm shooting the stationery or the rings or whatever it may be. The fashion work that I may do will then help me doing the couple stuff later on. It's all, for me, if you're repeating the same process, you cannot but get better at it if you keep doing it. So if you're doing the corporate work in the week, with the editing, your workflow's gonna get quicker, everything. So for me, and I know you don't do it, do you? You don't do corporate work, do you? Really don't touch it? But for me, my opinion is, why wouldn't you? Because it just means that you're applying your trade for more hours. If there's two photographers and he's shooting 35 weddings a year, and I'm shooting 35 weddings a year, but then I've got another 50 commercial clients, my work's going to surely improve at a higher rate than the guy just shooting 35 times. That's just math, science, whatever it is, I don't know. But surely you just must get better at a quicker rate because you're doing more of it.
So it does have crossover in that respect, doesn't it?
Massively. I think all the elements, from you know, I think from a the filmmaking's got to be the same in the fact that the skills that you hone in the week will just make you better.
I've done bits of cover in the past, and if I was doing it, you're absolutely right. I'm sure my filmmaking will get better.
Mm. Just at a higher rate. And I think...
And you're using different tools, so you have an appreciation for different tools. Because I'd maybe use gimbals and sliders and things like that. And then I'd be like, oh, actually, this could work in a wedding situation.
And I think, and again, it, especially with commercial work, it forces you into doing techniques that you not necessarily would do. Do you know what I mean? So, like, when I get a client who needs a particular type of photography, you know, I'll say yes to the job and then I'll kind of figure out the techniques later.
The answer's always yes.
Yeah, but then that forces me into going, oh, actually, I can do this. Whereas I wouldn't have pushed myself personally because I wouldn't have any need to because I've kind of got my formula with weddings.
Yeah, the answer's always yes and I'll figure it out later because, as you say, it pushes you. You're going to have to figure it out because you've already agreed to do it.
And I think I'd easily fall into kind of a similar routine with weddings if I wasn't pushed in other ways, and I'm pushed through workshops, but that's obviously not as regularly as the commercial work, which pushes me
weekly.
Yeah,
motivation.
Yeah, and again, even just from how my business works, so shooting aside, from a client perspective, it all overlaps as well. So, you know, one of the biggest jobs that I got was 21 days shooting for a PLC, a UK PLC. And they did it because they liked my wedding work. So again, contradicting what I just said about I don't want to see them both, the guy who was the head of marketing had been at a wedding that I was shooting at. He loved how I shot. He then started following me on Facebook. They then wanted real natural elements for their photography.
I've had grooms and best men and, you know, brides and stuff that are like, oh, I run this business, could you do a bit of video?
Yeah.
It does have crossover.
Absolutely. Because the type of clients that you're doing weddings for might probably business owners or at least directors or high up in what they do.
Professional times.
It overlays. You know, and again, my commercial work, in a really similar way to my wedding work, I don't SEO the site, I don't have an agency, I work off recommendations. And again, I got literally, and it sounds really cheesy, but I got a national client called me this morning before we started filming from a filmmaker who said, they need stills, go and see James Jepson. And that was from a filmmaker to me.
It's good. But the more, I think because you're out, you're doing all that work and you're doing that extra, the more you're out there, the more your face is out there, the more opportunities that it creates. Work breeds work.
Absolutely. And also, you know, and like I say, people value different things. My guy who does 35 weddings, he values time with his children and that is a beautiful thing. I value it too, but I also value giving them nice things as well. So I want to work as much, and I don't want to be working as hard when I'm older. So I'm thinking if I apply the hours in now, I'm a bit of an idiot. I edit till like 3 a.m. in the morning most nights anyway, because I enjoy it. So why, whilst I've got the energy and I'm young enough, why not maximize that earning potential? While you have, because I think you're earning, your maximum earning potential is between 30 and 40, I don't know.
Your work ethic is pretty sensational though.
But it's a simple thing, and I speak at unis and colleges, but it goes back to that simple thing of and it's really cheesy and I hate saying it, but it's so true. Finding something that you enjoy, you will naturally want to do it more.
Never work a day in your life.
Yeah. You can monetize anything now. Literally, you can monetize anything. I've got a friend of mine who was at uni. She loved computer games. I mean, loved them. Had a PlayStation controller tattooed on her body. She loved them. She set up a YouTube channel. She then became the face of game doing that. Do you know what I mean? Because she loved it. So you can monetize anything. Do you know what I mean? And if you enjoy it, then you're going to do it more. You do it more, you're going to get better at it. As you get better at it, you can charge more for it. It's a beautiful reoccurring circle. Beautifully endless. I hope so.
What a beautiful ending.
Yeah. Emotional.
Thanks, mate.
There you go, mate. I don't know how much you can use that.
Hey guys, thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, I'd love to hear from you. And don't forget to subscribe if you want to hear more. I'll see you in the next one.